This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Running with Horses, a podcast devoted to inspire you concerning a relationship with Almighty God that empowers you to accomplish things you never thought possible. Shirley Weaver wants to take you there. And now, here's today's episode.
Hey, greetings, and welcome to this episode of our podcast where the emphasis is supernatural interventions, divine outcomes, the will of God in the most extravagant way. And, you know, we just have this opportunity, and we want to take full advantage of every opportunity we have to think this way. So here at this podcast, which, by the way, the title is Running with Horses, Running with Horses. So that kind of dynamic, that way of thinking. My name is Shirley Weaver, and I'm glad you're here because we are talking about the time that we're living in and the role that the believer plays. I think it's a leadership role. I think the role becomes a catalyst to bring about the kinds of outcomes that God has in His heart. And there are so many. It's not a few. It's not that God intervenes rarely or once in a while. This is the norm. This is the way that God intends for us to live. And you say, how do you do that? How would you do that? Well, biblically, the believer has the mind of Christ. And so think about it. That means the thought life of a king. The thought life of a king. So in thinking like a king, we have this natural inclination to govern righteously, to administer, to prevail according to the word of the Lord, and to seek the supernatural outcomes that God desires. Because believe me, from Genesis to Revelation, we see not only a clear indication that He does want exactly that, but there are demonstrations and there is the performance of that reality in those verses in so many places. Today, God is moving so powerfully, sometimes acknowledged or recognized, sometimes not, but His moving, the word says His coming to you is as sure as the dawn. It is as certain as the occurrence of a new day, which is pretty certain. So we're living in this possibility, and I just encourage you to step into it fully. That's what we're talking about every time we get together right here on Running with Horses. One of the first things I want to put out there today, I just want to give a shout out really to the United States of America, my nation. In doing so, I feel the vastness of God's plan. And I'm so thankful for it, for the founding of this nation, for the intention of God as He formed the nation. And because everything moves and grows according to its root, the original blueprint, the thing that connects with the life, connects to the life of the thing, that force, that inheritance, that founding is so precious to me as a citizen of this country. And I've done some homework here on the history, and it's even more than I originally thought. Just as we said, I think, as we laid out the groundwork for our podcast in episode 1, we are pressing into the presence of God. And that is because Moses said, I will not go, we will not go if your presence does not go with us. And alignment with His plan, that should be the focus. And preparation for the future, for an end time future that is consistent with God's outworking, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So applying that to this nation, to the United States of America, the presence of God, alignment with Him, and preparation for the future, not just for our nation, but for brothers and sisters around the world, because our concern is globally. I mean, we have the mind of Christ, so we have the thought life of a king. We think in terms of bringing God's love to every person in every place throughout the whole world. It's just really part of being an American. And I know that maybe there are some places that's not true. There's some periods of time where that was less obvious than others. But at the root, at the foundation, the true history of this nation, not some that are being proposed at this point, projected, or offered up, which I consider to be revisionist in every sense of the word. I'm trying to find an element of truth, actually, in those. But the true representation of the roots of this nation. And that's why we love the symbols of our nation. We love the bald eagle, you know, symbolic of the freedom, really, and the greatness of creation that Almighty God has revealed to us. Our national flag, Old Glory. You know, listen, these are things that bring to our hearts the reminder of our connection to the very root of the way God formed our nation, our founding fathers, our Constitution. Oh my, you talk about divinely inspired and supernaturally written, such a document of freedom and God's heart desire for every man to be free. And what that means to me, to my children and their children, and the inheritance that that represents. And so, as I said, I just want to acknowledge that. I'm sure you feel that way about your nation as well. But in acknowledging that truth, I see the presence of God in my nation. And I see attacks coming to stop her alignment with her Creator, the Almighty God. And I see that the preparation God has for the future cannot be stopped, but is under attack. So the presence of God, alignment with Him, preparation for the future. And if anything, as we've said before, just to kind of rehearse this truth, we know nothing, absolutely nothing, can stop the will of God. Nothing can stop it. May attempt to stop it, may appear to be slowing down or interfering or distracting, but we're talking about Almighty God and His divine plan. Nothing is greater than the Spirit of God in the earth, His Holy Spirit, that Spirit working through His people, His Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, and my obedience to the leading of His Spirit. I want to say, thank God for the United States of America, land of the free, home of the brave. Amen. And on that note, speaking of the free and the brave, there's something happening that I see more and more, and it's the way that God is moving among women, bringing them forth, very articulate, very knowledgeable, able to express easily able to express really important truths. And on every level, almost every sphere, you see this happening. I heard someone say recently that if you live in the southern part of the United States, and I do. If you're from the South and you are a female, your natural inclination is to wait to be invited. And I thought when I heard that, that is exactly right. In other words, you don't project yourself or presume or insert yourself. You are taught, and it's instilled in you, that a sort of a level of reluctance is the norm, that is your safety net right there, that you do not project yourself into a setting because that's just not appropriate. But this expression went on to say that is changing, because God is raising up, what we said earlier, women who have the mind of Christ. So they have the thought life of a king. They have a ruler capacity. They have the ability to administrate. They have foresight, insight, and a prophetic eye for what's coming and what to do about it. And because of this, they are being raised up with a strong voice and an ability. And I think back to the passage in the Word concerning Jesus' words, that you wait when you go to a feast. You don't take the main seat. You don't seat yourself with the dignitaries, but rather you take the seat, the least important seat, and you wait to be invited to an important seat. So that would be consistent with what we said earlier. We're waiting to be invited. However, to bring the balance and to say here, to clarify, that in no place did the Lord ever say to be reluctant concerning truth, to be reluctant concerning what he is saying to you, but rather to know that the anointing and the truth and God's hand on your life makes room for you. In other words, it opens up a space, and it's not something that you could do. It's something really that the Lord does, right? It's something that he does. So we see this happening, and we see women being advanced. And I just want to bless them today. I want to say yes. I want to say amen. I want to release my faith with those who are coming from unusual places and suddenly with a word and with power. And also for those who have been on the scene for many years, and you might say that they're mothers in the faith, but they are seasoned, they are mature, and they are so valuable. I mean, just imagine what God has built into them. And they have such wise counsel and are so available. That nurturing part of a woman is there, you know, to release those gifts that God has instilled in her, developed over the years, many times through hardships. You know, some of the greatest lessons in life are learned through difficulty. The Word says that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So there's a treasure, there's a prize, and in every place that they are recognized, that they are treasured and prized, there is benefit. There is advance and there is increase. I want to applaud that. And I know you want to applaud that. So we just say, thank you, God, for the heart of a king that is in the woman that you call, the woman who carries your spirit, who carries your message. As a daughter, a wife, a mother, a sister, a friend, in every way, this valuable part of God's family in the earth, and her fearlessness to protect the children and to make sure that every threat is turned back at the gate. Where the children are concerned, a mighty fortress is our God. And the mothers in the land express that fortress. They are powerful. They are powerful. Oh, so thankful. And another place that you see this display of freedom, liberty, you see bravery, is the way that God is moving in gatherings of people, like groups, small and large. We've talked about this in an earlier episode as well. This is really important. This is key. And so a part of God's divine flow, His supernatural outpouring, His intervention. I was just reading earlier from, Matthew 23, and it's the seven woes to the scribes and Pharisees. It's lengthy and it's intense. Just the influence, the negative influence of religious spirits and double-mindedness, and the way that God looks at that and His upset, His disapproval with that. And there's a verse tucked here. It almost looks like it doesn't belong, but if you study it out, you will see that it clearly does belong right here. Verse 34, "Therefore, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes." Another rendering of scribes would be teachers. And then it goes on to say, "Some you will kill and crucify, some you will persecute, etc., etc." This is the emphasis. God said, "I will send you prophets, wise men, and teachers," or scribes. God has said and intends fully to perform this word concerning wherever there are two or three gathered in His name. I believe that there's a prophet in every house, everyone. I think every house has a prophet, and I mean literally a home, a family home. But sometimes we refer to the church as a house. So there too, wherever there's a house, wherever there's a family, there's a prophet there. And you can plan. You can just plan on it. There's a prophet there. And I also believe that every believer needs, my expression is, to have a prophet riding shotgun with them. In other words, in the olden days of the settling of our nation, it was not uncommon for one man to be appointed to be the defender, you know, to carry the gun, to protect from sudden attacks or ambushes or whatever. So that person would be riding shotgun, right? Okay, so as a believer, I need a prophet riding shotgun with me. That, number one, is the Holy Spirit, of course, but individually and on a human level, there's an intentional plan right here. And you say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know it to be true. So it's too late to dissuade me because I know that it's true. I know that prophets are in God's house. I know that wise men are there. And I know that teachers, scribes are there. And they are called to keep the church steady, to keep it on course. I think that a pastor's job may be the most difficult task on the planet. I cannot even say enough about the pastor that God places in the congregation, small or large. I mean, parents pastor their family, right? But in a congregational setting, I'm actually referring to. So we talked earlier about having the presence of God and being aligned with Him and preparing for the future. And I heard recently this sort of mathematical expression that if a spacecraft is launched and set off into orbit, that there is an intentional path for that orbit. And if from the root or from the beginning of the launch or at any point along the path, let's just say at any point down the path, the main spacecraft bears a fraction of a degree off course, then that changes the trajectory, and something that is barely noticeable initially, as the path is pursued and the flight continues, that trajectory becomes so extremely off course, observably off target, observably no longer aligned, that you can predict the outcome. That spacecraft will not reach the intended goal, will not land safely, will not orbit successfully, and just will not succeed. Another way of looking at that would be, will fail, just to say it. So, liberty, truth, justice, freedom, and bravery. It's time to be brave in every place, but especially in the church. In every nation, the church holds the key for the future of that nation. Why would you say that? Well, because the church has the mind of Christ, therefore the thought life of a king. It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle to obtain in every place for the name of our God and to establish the kingdom of His Son and to advance His will for every part of His creation, all men, everywhere. So God is talking to us about the way that He's doing this. In small group settings, we are seeing nations being uncovered and advanced the way that God intended all along. We see that women, not just women, men, of course, but today we're talking about women. Women have come to the scene for such a time as this, more so than ever before in my life. And the prophets that God speaks to and then through are both those who have a spiritual connection, also secular prophets, because God is going to have His wisdom released into the earth for this time. Wise men, teachers called of God, scribes who hear clearly and write accurately, and that the unveiling and the unfolding of what God is doing cannot be stopped. The will of God cannot be stopped, cannot be aborted, cannot be taken. And so, just in the time that we have left, you know, you have an inheritance, and it covers every aspect of your life. It's from birth all the way until the time that your time on earth changes into the eternal trajectory. This is eternity. Now I'm speaking from earth to heaven. There is, right here, right now, the coming together of God's plan that cannot be stopped. You cannot be stopped. The founding of what God has put in your heart cannot be stopped. The truth that you are carrying and what you carry anyway, like you carry the weight of the word of the Lord on the inside of you for the purpose He intends. You cannot be stopped in advancing that word. And so today, we're giving place that way. We're giving place to these things that God is doing, observing them, thanking God for them, and realizing our part is to line up, align with it, offer help where we can. I mean, I see it more and more. The Lord calls me, carve out some time in your day right here and go help this person accomplish this. And I don't mean, you know, like something small. I'm not talking about baking a cake or planting a garden. Both of those are great. I'm talking about something history-making, world-changing. Carve out some time in your life, in your day, to go help with that. Go help build the wall there. Because God has called prophets, wise men, and teachers to pray and to prophesy and to insist upon the will of God and to help those that are on the front lines and see to it that their resources are supplied, that their supply lines are not interrupted. I mean, we have a vast opportunity right here. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And as we rejoice in that truth, we lay hold to all the will of God for today. All of it. Paul said to Timothy, see to it that you do all the will of God. We lay hold to all of it. I bless you that way. I bless your nation. I bless my nation, the United States of America. Let freedom ring. I bless women in every place that God is raising up. I bless the church and her prophets, her wise men, her teacher scribes, who are sent to strengthen the church. And the pastor rejoices. It's like the cavalry coming over the hill, you know, for the pastor. It's like, thank God for them. And I bless you today. I bless you in all these settings. I bless you in the group and the groups, plural, where He is setting you and establishing you. I say over your life in your home, kingdom of God come, will of God be done. According to the blueprint that's in heaven. I bless you because you have the mind of Christ. Therefore, you have the thought life of a king. Righteousness reigns wherever you are. God bless you. Love you. And just have a blessed day. Amen. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Don't forget to check out the show notes or visit acleartrumpet.org, where you can subscribe to Shirley's email list, download the ministry app, and purchase your very own copy of Shirley's 365-day devotional, Running with Horses. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.